I am incredibly upset right now. And it's not anything anybody else did. It is my own stupidity. I spent an hour recording this episode. And through my... long story short, I forgot to arm the tracks. So just sitting here talking to myself for an hour. Cool. So I'm in my natural state, general annoyance. So maybe that'll make this podcast more enjoyable. Hi, I'm Lyman Lipke, if we haven't met before. This is the Lyman Lipke Guitar Cast. I post videos on TikTok and Instagram of general guitar instruction, stuff like that. And I just recently relaunched my Patreon, where I am releasing my monthly guitar club magazine. It's got a ton of exercises. This month's got scales and thirds in all seven positions. It's also got my close proximity triads exercise for major triads in tab and standard notation. So if that sounds interesting to you, click the link in my bio, go on and sign up to my Patreon. It's $3 a month for the magazine plus some live streams. $7 a month if you want to hop on like a community Zoom call twice a month. And $25 a month if you want a one-on-one 15-minute session with me every month. And I will, you do whatever you want in that session. We can turn it to a mini lesson. You can pitch me your MLM idea. You can share some music with me. Whatever you want. It's your time. So I would hope you would consider that. And if you're on the fence about it, you'd sign up to my newsletter, my mailing list, and I'll send you a free sample version of the monthly Guitar Club magazine, which has got all seven positions and tab and notation and your first jazz chords. Drop twos of A minor 7 on the top four string set. So the link to both of those things are in the description of this podcast. Let's get into it. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing okay? I was doing pretty good until I made a blunder. I blundered. But I've been thinking of starting a weekly call-in show where either Skype me or call a phone number and you give me your guitar problems. It's like Lyman Lipke, the unlicensed guitar therapist. Because one thing I've been doing in my lessons is, you know, in addition to working out exercises and working through, you know, improving on the guitar, which is going to be the main focus of this episode, by the way, I've been doing a lot of sort of like couples therapy for the guitar. A lot of people have problems. Like the one thing I hear more consistently than anything else is I didn't practice this week as much as I would like. And that's, it's not the biggest problem in the world, but it is a problem. And it's not a problem you can throw more exercises at. You've got to deal with the relationship between you and the guitar. That's where I try to inspire and excite people about this instrument. So it's picking it up to practice through the exercises isn't a want, or it isn't a like chore. It's a want. It's a desire. That is my goal. Jimmy Bruno said the best teachers are the ones who inspire people to pick up the instrument. And that's, I took that to heart. So I hope listening to this podcast helps inspire you to want to pick up your guitar. What have I been working on? Screwed it up right there. I've been working on arpeggios, big triad arpeggios of every note available in each of the seven diatonic triads in the seven positions, each of the seven positions. And it's been like, it's been a slog, especially at the start, just going very, very slowly in that first position, which is actually the fourth position. And the whole time I was practicing through the fourth position, I'm just thinking, oh man, I have to do this for six more positions. Well, sort of. This shape for C major in the fourth position also exists for F major in the seventh position and G major in the first position, the very second chord we play. D minor exists as D minor in the fourth position exists as E minor in the fifth position. So the major and minor triads inform each other a lot. So when I went through the first position slowly, fourth position slowly, I was really putting in some work on the other positions as well. And so it's kind of like compounding interest. The work you put in at the beginning is going to inform the work you put in later on, which is incredibly valuable and something you should hold on to while you're practicing. Like, if you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's there. You're putting in the work. You might just be looking too close to the ground at that point. Everything you do informs the next thing you're going to do. Last time I recorded this, I talked a little bit about tone and what my perception of tone is. And I'll do that again. So what tone is to me is it's the frequencies that are accentuated in the amplitude of those frequencies, the volume of those frequencies. When we're playing an A 440, the only frequency we're hearing isn't just 440. Like, there's other things that are happening. All of the harmonics we're hearing, you can't grab harmonics on the fifth fret at this time. All of those harmonics exist at varying degrees of amplitude. Whenever we pluck the string. And our tone is the volume and the combination of all those harmonics and frequencies. We do something like add distortion. We're adding more high frequency information. So I'm looking at Wave Candy in FL Studio, which is a spectrum analyzer. And whenever I engage the distortion pedal, the stuff in the higher frequencies gets a little bit brighter, and there's even more information. So that's what overdrive does. I've got two overdrives going on now. And there's even more high frequency information. We have something like an envelope filter. That's a filter that opens and closes based on input. So when I input, the filter opens, meaning we hear more high frequency information. And when the input goes below a threshold, the filter closes. meaning we get less of that high frequency information. Chorus. It's, from what I understand, it doubles our sound. So there's a small amount of delay. And on one or both of those doubles, the pitch is being modulated, giving us that wobbly effect. Which is essentially phase cancellation, which affects the amplitude of certain frequencies. And tremolo, straight amplitude modulation. The whole signal is just getting louder and softer. So those are the things that make up tone to me. And the only people who like really, really care about guitar tone are guitar players. I feel like most other instrumentalists, when they're listening to guitar tone, they're listening to a couple things. One is, does it fit in the mix? AKA, is it offensive? And two, is it aesthetically pleasing? And does it fit the mix, fit the song? Is it offensive? And two, is it aesthetically pleasing? So if we can get an aesthetically pleasing sound that fits in a mix, we are close enough, I think. I don't tend to think about tone too much. I'm just trying to get a sound that I enjoy listening to. I like clean sounds. I'm a jazz guy. I like to hear the sound of the guitar. Like, I like how a guitar sounds acoustically. I want to try to, you know, match that with my tone in a way that sits in a jazz mix. Or, if I'm playing a solo recording, I just want to make it as pretty as possible without any frequencies that are, like, unbalanced. I want a good amount of natural low end, good amount of mid range, and I actually want to hear that like 10K, like the string sound. So I've been like miking my electric guitars just to bring that in a little bit. It's become a part of my sound. And you can hear it because I got the microphone I'm talking into. It's just crazy to see the arguments about tone online. Like, just ask yourself this question. Do I like the sound that's coming out of my amplifier? If yes, awesome. You've won. If no, then change some things. EQ is your best friend when it comes to like a good bass level tone, because what is tone but the amplitude of all the different frequencies that make up the notes that we're playing. EQ boosts or cuts frequencies, so just mess around with EQ until you have a sound that you like. And then test it inside certain mixes if you have the capabilities, like if you can record and whatnot. And if it's getting drowned out or if it's sticks out too much, make some adjustments from there. And that'll get you a tone that works for your application. It is real easy to fall down the tone rabbit hole, and I try not to. I just try not to think about it too much. I just try to get a good sound and then play. Because, like, that's why I picked up the guitar to play the guitar, not turn some knobs, even though turning some knobs is fun. Anyway, the meat of the podcast today. How do you get better at guitar? Like, what do we do to get better? How do we make improvements? Well, for starters, this is the thing that I remind everybody in a bunch of my videos. You got to practice. You got to put the time in. If you're not willing to do that, like, then improvement, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be a lot harder. Because how do you expect to improve magically without practicing? I mean, you can study, you can learn new things, but you still got to practice those things. Yeah, practice. Like, and like I say, that's a reminder to me as well as everybody else. Whenever I say that at the end of a video, just practice your concepts. But like, what exactly are we supposed to practice? And I have a few things to talk about, like how to figure out what we should practice. First and foremost, it's my belief that first thing you should take care of is mastering fundamental skills. What are fundamental skills on the guitar? Knowing where the notes are, being able to play through the notes. One great way to do that is playing through major scales in positions. That's the seven positions of the major scale. And they start to repeat. That'll give you a good mechanical foundation of where everything is on the guitar. And then play those seven positions throughout the keys. You can go in reverse order on the circle of fifths. I have a little phone number. Don't call this phone number because I don't know where it goes, but I hope to acquire it one day. 415-2637. So play position 4, position 1, position 5, position 2, position 6, position 3, position 7. All from the same starting note. And then you can do it from the starting note, half step below. That'll take you counterclockwise from the circle of fifths. So one full time plus positions 4 through 6. 4, 1, 5, 2, 6. I'll get you through all 12 collections of pitch sounds. Some people will say there's 15 or 30 keys. Sure, I'm not gonna knock you if you think of it that way. Like, I think of it that way, but practically, there's only 12 sets of note sounds that exist. So we have the keys that overlap. D flat is C sharp, G flat is equal to F sharp, and C flat is equal to B. So 12 keys, 3 that overlap, they have 2, that's 3 more keys, 15 keys, whatever. There's only 12 sets of sounds, pitch collections. Being able to play through in any key, anywhere on the guitar, that is a fundamental skill. Being able to play different intervals within your positions. Scales and thirds, your jazz guy, your diatonic seventh chords, your triads, as arpeggios and as chords. I mean, you can play your bar chords for all the major chords in C, or you can play inversions close by. And play them as spread triads. That one tripped me up because there's an open string there. The basic like building blocks of music. That is a great starting place, making sure you have those on lock and you have command of them. You can pull them out no matter where you are, whatever situation. They're at your fingertips. That's the first thing you should practice. So scales and thirds, your chords, your triads, your seventh chords. Other fundamental skills that aren't widely talked about are good time, like starting your notes when they're supposed to start. And in addition to that, note length, ending your notes when they're supposed to end. So I'm giving each note, it's essentially eighth note, eighth rest. So one and two and three and four and at that tempo, we could even play one E and then leave a space on the one E and a two E and a three E and a four E and a. Absolute control of your note lengths and your articulations, how you're producing the sound from the string, whether you're using nails, flesh, or a pick. Being able to use whatever's necessary to get the sound that you want. Having strong downstrokes, choked downstrokes. Which is useful for like the Duden tonguing, articulation, approximation on the guitar. So I'm playing fully articulated, choked. On downbeats when I'm ascending, and then fully articulated, choked downbeats and fully articulated upbeats when I'm descending. Really exaggerate them so you know what the difference is between a big, fully articulated note and maybe a choked note. And when you back off a little bit, you've got something that swings even without playing a long short articulation. So when we add, or a long short eighth note division, so when we add the long short, all of a sudden we've got swing. That's where swing happens. It happens in the articulation to me. So, scales, chords, time, note length, articulation. It's 90% of the stuff that you're going to employ playing guitar music. There are other things like, Victor Wooten's other elements of music, like space, feel, phrasing. Can't remember all of them, but scales, chords, time, note length, articulation. Really get a handle on that stuff. That's the first thing. If you want to be greatest guitar player of world, not everybody wants to be greatest guitar in world. And that's fine. Like if you just want to, pick up a guitar, play some songs that you like and relax, like, it's beautiful. Like, more people in the world should do that. But if you do have goals and aspirations, like, don't neglect the basics. It's so important. Because that's the foundation upon we build these other more intricate concepts on. The foundation's weak. Like, those more advanced skills more likely to crumble. At least I think. So once you feel like you've got a somewhat of a handle on your fundamental skills, you need to be able to accurately identify your weak points. Where are you weak? maybe your time's not so good. So practice with a metronome. Practice, you know, metronome on every beat. There's no metronome here, but maybe I can pull one up so you can... Oh, I dropped the pick. I'll pull up the metronome so you can... Oh, I can give you an example. So, 140. Eighth notes at 140. Eighth notes at 85. And then you can start playing interesting games. 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. But how do you know in the moment if you're rushing or you're dragging? If your notes are consistently before or after the click? Got to record yourself when you're playing. That's going to be a huge tool in identifying where you're weak. You can look back objectively at what you're doing. You know, look at, especially if you're recording in a DAW with a DAW's metronome. You can line it up to the grid and see where your notes are landing in relation to that grid. I'm not saying everything has to be perfect all the time. That's not the case. But we should pursue perfection all the time. We should be able to put the notes exactly on those lines on the grid. I might get some pushback from people who might say, but what if I want to like lay back or put the line, the notes, after the lines on the grid? Well, if you don't have the control enough to put the notes on the grid, then you probably don't have the control enough to put them consistently in the same spots or similar spots off of the grid. So it's a control thing. We want to have control of what we're doing. That's how I see it. So that's one way to identify if your time is weak. Maybe your notes are consistently too short. You can also practice with the metronome here. Quarter notes at 80 BPM. I'm trying to make each note last up until the next click. And I can use that to play like half of that length. Or three quarters of that length. One eanda, two eanda. These, and record it so you have an accurate reference of what you're doing. Maybe some people's technique are a little bit weak. Maybe they have flying fingers, or their right hand is a little sloppy. How can we deal with that? We can either, if we're recording our session, we can video record us practicing, or we can practice in front of a mirror or in front of a webcam. I get comments when I'm going live, like, this dude isn't even looking at his hands when he's playing. Not true. I am looking at my hands. I'm just looking at them in the camera. Like, I see myself on the camera, see where my hands are. That's where I'm making the calculations of where I need to go. I'm not looking directly at the fretboard. I'm looking at what's essentially mirrored. So the skill of listening to yourself objectively is important. So learn that, record yourself, and be able to accurately identify your weak points. Another very, very important thing before we put together, you know, our plan of attack and what we're going to practice is we want to know what we want to do. What do you want to do with the guitar? Who do you want to be? Do you want to be greatest guitarist in world? Well, to do that, first off, that's a huge question. I can't do much with that. I want to be greatest guitarist in world. Great. I'm just going to practice all the time. We got to reverse engineer down from there. So, if you want to be the greatest guitarist in the world, ask yourself, who do I think are the greatest guitarists in the world right now? Make that list. And then that's a list of who you want to sound like. So try to sound like them. I ask my students all the time, what do you want? And sometimes that question gets answered with, I want to be able to improvise effectively. Like, okay, what does that mean to you? Like, I just want to be able to play and improvise. Like, play over changes? Yes, I would like to be able to play over changes. Cool. We're getting somewhere. What is playing over changes? Here's a quick and dirty definition. Accentuating the notes that change between chords. So, let's take D minor 7, G7, C major 7. What notes are changing between D minor 7 and G7? D minor 7 is comprised of D, F, A, C. G7 is comprised of G, B, D, F. Both of those chords have a D and an F. D minor 7 has an A and a C. G7 has a G and a B. So I can play these same two outside notes and just move these notes. That's the difference between D minor 7 and G7. So I accentuate those changes. That's a 2-5 line. Very simple 2-5 line. Changing that A to G and that C to B. Here's a more intricate. Let me try that again. So, the first part. I'm playing an F major 7 arpeggio. And then here's a note that changes, C. And I approach B chromatically. And then that, we've got G7 moving to C major 7. G7 is comprised of G, B, D, F. C major 7 is comprised of C, E, G, B. So both of those chords have a B and a G. But the D and F in G7 go down to C and E. So that C to B between D minor and G7, and that F to E between G7 and C major 7. So that's going all the way down from a goal. Like, I want to be able to improvise. I want to be able to play changes. Need to know what changes are, the notes that change. And then look at each of your favorite chord progressions and see where the notes are changing. So, standard turnaround to 2. 1, 4, 3 minor 7 flat 5, 6 altered. Fifth of C moves up to the fourth, or the third of F, which can move down to the third of E minor 7 flat 5, which can move down to the sharp 5 of A7 altered. So get specific with your goals. If your goal is a little bit too broad, or even if it's not a little bit too broad, see if you can make it more specific. And to get into the next sort of thing we should think about when we're practicing is identify what sounds the players have that, like, our favorite players have that we don't have, or just be able to identify the sounds that you want. So I identified a sound relatively recently that I want that I didn't have. Wider intervals in my playing. So how am I going to get to the spot where I add wider intervals in my playing? I created an etude that I can play in a couple different ways. Fifths and fourths. And I can move on to the next string set. Next string set. I can also do it diatonically. So I created my own exercise in positions, like positionally, because I spent the time mastering my positions on the guitar. And so I apply the sounds and concepts that I want into those positions. If we want chromaticism, that's a system of chromaticism that I applied to my major scale positions. That's just three things. I've got a three-note grouping of whole step, I play that. I've got a three-note grouping of half step, whole step, play that. I've got a three-note grouping of whole step, half step, I play that. And I just link them together. Boom. Instant chromatics. It's not the only system of chromatics either. If I've got a major third, I'll play this on a string. It's putting a half step in between the second and the third. If I've got a minor third, just play all the notes. Boom, more chromatics. You can do that in any position. So find a sound you want and create your own exercise. It's repeatable across the position. That is helpful. And that moves into the next sort of core concept. Make a plan of attack. Like, make yourself a roadmap. Like, okay, I want to be Jimmy Bruno. I want to be able to play like Jimmy Bruno. What does he do? Plays incredibly cleanly. He knows all the chords. Plays great chord melody. One thing I could do to try to play like Jimmy Bruno is transcribe Jimmy Bruno. And look at what concepts he's using. And see if I can't create any sort of exercises out of the concepts that he's using. And I'm sure you would, like, hate that. Like, no, just play the guitar. Just play it over and over again until you can do it without any mistakes. So, sounding like Jimmy Bruno. Figure out what he does. See if you can't take a concept and turn an exercise into it. See if you can't do that for a bunch of his concepts. And make it like a checklist, like learn how to, I haven't done this yet, but I should learn how to play eighth notes like he plays eighth notes. Learn his chromatic lines, learn any of his cool flourishes like. Learn his. turn those into exercises. Ear training is a huge thing as well. How do we attack ear training? We could make a very detailed plan, but this is what I did. I just played along with what I heard. I would just guess and stab at things until I got one or two of the notes right. Like, I would watch a lot of TV as a kid. So when I was watching TV, a commercial would come on. I'd try to play the commercial jingle. Maybe I'd get one or two of the notes right. But if you're watching TV, like, that ad is going to come up again. So I could use those two notes as a starting point. Maybe I get three or four notes the next time. Within a couple days, I can play the jingle. Like the Liberty Mutual. There we go. I think I got it. Because, you know, I heard it in my head. You can sing along to it. That's what I did. Liberty, 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 Liberty. Not sponsored by Liberty Mutual, but Liberty Buchmull should sponsor me. I'll do an ad read for Liberty Buchmull. It doesn't have to be ads. It can be literally anything. Like, play along to songs on the radio. Play folk tunes that are in your head from your area. Here in the U.S., we all get bombarded with Christmas music. Try to play those melodies that are deeply ingrained in your head. Just try to put it onto the instrument. Dua Lipa. Levitating by Dua Lipa. Real simple melody. Like, don't start with, like, Countdown by Coltrane. Like, don't start with your transcribing with Coltrane. Like, that's setting yourself up for failure. Simple melodies. Mozart. That's one way you can attack, like, ear training. Once your ear is developed, you can steal everything. Steal all of the lines from everybody. And then you can build those into exercises and concepts that you can apply to your instrument. The biggest muscle we can develop is our hearing. So listen to music and try to play along with it. And, you know, you can record yourself doing this. You have a reference. Like, did I get that right? No, I didn't get that right. Or, yeah, I totally nailed that. Or, I got the correct chord sound, but the voicing was not correct. I hope that makes sense. Like, how to improve. Practice. What do you practice? Master your fundamental skills. Be able to accurately identify your weak points. Know what you want to do with the instrument or what you want to sound like. Identify what they have that you don't, or be able to identify the sounds that you want. And then make a plan of attack. And then just repeat ad nauseum until you are the player that you want to be. And that's the end goal. Just be the player you want to be. Somebody says, like, you're supposed to be playing like this. Screw them. Like, you're supposed to play like however you want. If you're happy with how you play, you are absolutely winning. That's a fact to me. So just incorporate these to become the player that you want to B. And if you're having trouble with any of this, feel free to reach out to me for lessons. There'll be a link in the bio, take you to my link tree, which you can check out my lessons page or my contact form, or you can just send me a DM on Instagram. That works great. And I've got a new pricing structure. So my one-offs, you just want to get your documentation and get some exercise and get out. One-off lesson, $65 for an hour or $40 for a half hour. If you want to be a recurring student, you can take lessons two times a month, build monthly. Half an hour twice monthly would be $70. Hour two times a month would be $120. If you want to study weekly with me, doesn't matter if there are 4 or 5 weeks that month, the price is for half an hour, $130, or for an hour weekly, $210. If that is interesting to you, like, get in touch with me. We'll put it on the books. If you're elsewhere in the world, like you're in Europe or Asia or something like that, and you're thinking, oh man, like, I would love to study with you, but I don't know what your schedule is. In Europe, my morning is your, like, evening, like 5, 6, 7 o'clock. That's a great time. That's a time I'm trying to fill. And your mornings are my late nights, and I happen to teach late nights. So there are time zones. There are time slots that can work for every time zone. That's the thing that's holding you back. Don't let that hold you back. Get in touch with me. We'll set something up. Again, I've got got a couple albums on Spotify called In Lyman's Terms and Sleep Aid, just under my name, Lyman Lipke. I've got the Patreon happening, and I've got my newsletter. Those are available in my Linktree link in the bio or in the description of this podcast. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. I'm significantly less annoyed than I was at the start of this, because I see that the whole podcast is recorded, which is dope. So I'm gonna play it out, and then we'll call it. Thanks for listening to the Lyman Lipke Guitar Cast, and I will see you the next time I make one of these. Hopefully, next week. Bye!